My chance to sip my Dr. Pepper.
You have a Dr. Pepper instead of coffee?
Welcome again to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 141. PC Gamer put out an article this past week titled, "The 80s and 90s PC Games Still Unbelievably Being Updated Today." That's too long of a title.
Terrible title. Yeah, I follow.
But it gets straight to it. It just straight up says what this article is going to be about.
Yeah.
A lot of games obviously have relatively short lifestyles. Like even huge AAA titles are only really in effect for 2 years. You know, for the most part, there's obvious exceptions. But this article talks about a few of the games that have lived on for decades, like much longer than many other games that are still being updated, still being not patched, but like updated, maybe some patches here and there. But so I'm not going to go through the complete list, but do you have any guesses before I reveal some of the long lasting games?
StarCraft 1.
I don't know how hard they'll include it, but I'd assume that the StarCraft stuff is on there.
Nolan just got that out before you even.
I know, because he knew. He doesn't even play that game still. I occasionally do. So
Quake. Yes, yes.
Unreal Tournament. Those are my guesses.
Anything else, Kenny? Because you didn't give anything. Nolan gave everything.
No, that's not. He stole my answer.
Direct, boy.
He stole my answer. We all know that's. Now I'm just salty.
The first one that is on my list from this list is StarCraft. It was released March 31st, 1998, and the last update was April 12th, 2018.
Dang.
That's nuts. That's amazing.
What?
That kind of paints an unfair picture, though.
No, it doesn't. It's still the same game. You talking about like the release and blah, blah, blah? Or whatever?
Yeah, no, it just makes it sound like it was in constant development that whole time. And it wasn't. There was a super long lull.
No one thinks that like every 3 months it's getting updates. Like for all of these games, it's like for one of the games I'm going to mention, there was the last like main update was in 2003, and then there was one in 2015, and then one in 2018. But it's still like the developers just haven't left it completely.
If nothing else, it means they're popular titles that have longevity, and that the developers at least have been doing things to modernize them or make them more accessible. And so I think it's a great conversation no matter what.
Another game is NetHack.
I actually was going to say that.
Were you really? Well, you didn't even say StarCraft. Well, it was released July 1987, and the latest update was April 27th, 2018.
Dang.
Yeah, and it's crazy because due to the game's randomization, it doesn't really need a lot of updates to remain interesting. But they've still made change. One of the newest changes they had in this article is this. Blinded hero or monster who eats the corpse of a nurse will have blindness cured.
That's the update?
I like it.
That's one of the things included notes in the most recent update.
I love that. That's so good.
Our friend Jonah Dab is probably foaming at the mouth right now because we're talking about NetHack.
Oh yeah, when I say I knew it was kind of still updated, it was only because of Discord conversations with our big right. NetHack follower.
Age of Empires 2.
Ah, I forgot. Yeah, that's released, one of the bigger ones.
Right? They did the HD re-release.
Yeah, released September 30th, 1999. Latest update was December 20th, 2017. So it's still getting...
Okay, that's another one I could have come up with if I'd actually thought.
And that one's probably being played the most out of all these, I would say.
It's competitive still with StarCraft. I think they both have still like a competitive scene, which is so interesting. So there's other games on the list. We're not going to go through all of them, but like Gemstone 4, Kingdom of Drakkar, Genesis, and Ultima Online are all included.
Ultima Online, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's old school MMO.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice that developers would continue to provide so many upgrades to power up their game, pretty much shielding them from any danger and providing them the firepower needed to destroy any bugs that come their way.
Boo.
Which is near identical to our situation in the retro game of the week, Darius Twin.
Overview.
I didn't know how to react. I don't know how to react about anything this morning. I'm just kind of confused. I'm not confused about Darius Twin, though, because it's a pretty straightforward game. This is a Super Nintendo title that came out in 1991. Developed and published by Taito, a Japanese company, and has been re-released since on the Wii Virtual Console. It is a side-scrolling, sort of horizontal side-scrolling shooter. So one of those games, instead of top-down view, like a lot of shoot-em-ups, it's the you're navigating up and down and left and right, as if the ship is, I don't know, over your shoulder if you're looking out of another cockpit. And you are doing typical things for this kind of shooting game. You're running around, blowing things up, trying your best, and probably failing, not to run into obstacles or get hit by other projectiles, and collecting sweet upgrades, and then taking on the occasional boss, and navigating your way through some space worlds to beat everyone. There is some plot, but
very
it's
very good explanation.
It was good. There's plot, but it's so nonsensically short and Super Nintendo just kind of slapped on there. I don't know that it's even worth mentioning, to be honest.
But which is good. I mean, with these it shmups, yeah. It's nice to have a story that kind of just sets the scene if you're interested, but to like put that all throughout the game would be annoying for these
yeah,
kinds of games.
For sure.
I think the only reference to story is in the intro sequence
right
before the title screen
yeah,
and then in the conclusion, like at the end, because yeah, it's, Kenny, did you mention it's a part of a greater series?
Yeah, this went on to sort of spawn a whole Darius series of games that are...
Well, it also came after...
Well, this is the third game in the Darius series.
There are arcade titles
right
before that. So this is the first console port, I believe. But there
is
are arcade...
Really?
I think so. Maybe not. Maybe there's one
on
NES.
I don't think this is a port either. I don't think this was in the arcade.
No. I'm not saying this was in the arcade. I'm saying the games before it were arcade titles.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Like the
that
first
doesn't surprise
games
me. It plays like it, and the publisher did a lot of that. Like, they did arcade-y stuff.
Yeah.
It is also worth mentioning that it does have two-player mode, which is probably a really good idea for this game.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. And you're playing on the same screen with two different ships, and...
not much space to move.
there's not much space to move, but it's always nice when they give you two-player mode in a lot of these arcade-like games.
I didn't get to do two-player mode, so... I doubt this is the case, and I'm being a little bit snarky, but just because of the nature of this game and how easy it is to die, I would not be surprised if this was one of those two-player games where friendly fire was on, or where if your ships ran into each other,
no,
you blew up.
That'd
I know
be
both
so
of those
rough
things aren't true, because it'd be impossible and would ruin the game, but I just wouldn't even be shocked.
It's also worth noting that I grew up playing this game at my cousin's house.
Wow. See... I had never heard of it, and I think a lot of people haven't.
You mentioned in Discord, Dustin, that you beat the game this week, right?
Oh yeah, a few times.
I will credit that to the fact that you had childhood experience with it.
We'll see.
Maybe. But yeah, this is a game that, you know, when you go over for holidays and stuff, and if you're lucky, your grandparent or cousin had a gaming system, but there weren't many games, but the two games that I remember us playing was NBA Jam Tournament Edition and mm-hmm. Darius Twin.
There are always those games like that, right? Like, I had some cousins that had some obscure game too, but we played it every time we were together. And it was just like, it's not the best game, but you play it and have fun.
Yeah, right. But it's crazy because in my mind, Darius Twin is a huge game because I've always known about it. And, you know, it's been a part of my life. But then when we got to it this week and nobody knows about it, you know, like the people in Discord didn't know about it. You guys hadn't heard about it, or you, at least you haven't known. Kenny, have you heard about it before?
No, I'd never touched it until this week.
And even as I was trying to look for other like video game reviewers that had talked about the game, that's few and far in between, which just has kind of like blown my mind this week.
Yeah. Well, let's see if there's a reason for that or not.
Gameplay.
So with any kind of these space-like shoot 'em up games, you like the main focus of the game is upgrading your ship. And I mentioned it in the really good transition in the segue from the beginning of our episode. You've got three primary upgrades here that you're collecting throughout the stages. And that is your primary missile, it is your bombs, and it's your shield.
And I think the pacing on those upgrades was a little off for me. Like, so you get the power up and you start with like a little pea shooter. It's pretty slow and in a straight line, doesn't cover a lot of area, and it's fairly weak. You get the first shoot upgrade and it makes it rapid fire, more like a machine gun. And then from there you get a thicker beam, you get two beams, and it just, you know, builds onto that. So it's that kind of typical upgrade style. I thought it was a little slow, though, in the pacing of how quickly you upgrade your ship.
Really? See, when you started this, I thought you were saying that it would be too fast.
No, I think...
Oh, no. So here's the thing. So you did a first play this week.
Yes.
And I hope that you ended up finding out like the solution to this, because in the first play I don't think you had, and so this would make a lot of sense if you hadn't, and you got to be honest here. The upgrades don't just come randomly and from random enemies. Every single upgrade comes from those lanterns with the red dot in the middle, and you have to clear all six of those and then you get an upgrade.
I figured that out.
Okay, you did figure
that out. Yeah, I figured that out. Even with that though, I think you start out so weak that it's hard for, it's kind of weird for me because I feel like in a lot of shmups, it's a little more aggressive from the beginning. Like you feel like you're doing more. I was struggling.
Or the difficulty ramps with your stuff. Like it's not as hard right away as it is later when you're going to have weapons to deal with it.
Yeah.
I jumped into this game and felt like I couldn't deal with the first level because there was too much.
It's also a one-shot kill if you don't have a shield. So that's
Not for the enemy. For the enemy, it's like 20-shot kill.
Yeah, right. But for you, it's one of those things where if you get touched, you're dead. And
unless you've got a shield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is the other upgrade
even,
time.
Even then, sometimes you would, depending what was touching you, which was really frustrating to me.
Yeah. Okay. You're saying that you wanted to get something out of the way.
Yeah. Let's just talk about it. I suck at this game,
which is so crazy. I've kept a lot of it to myself this week because I don't want to be a prick at all. But like, there's very few games where I'm the best at. And after watching Nolan's first play, I was inspired to do a little bit of live streaming too. And so I had to flex on me. I streamed some of this game and I played it once through on normal, and I got through probably about six stages before. Losing all my lives. And then I played on easy mode and just like pretty much that's super easy. But
that's so crazy to me.
Watching Nolan play it and then watching me is like watching two totally different.
I swear it's games. Because you had that experience and that memory of
that's crazy,
patterns and stuff, even at some point. It had to be because I'm not normally bad at this kind of games. I normally love this style and I really struggled with this one too. Like, really.
But I hadn't played this for over a decade.
It doesn't matter. It comes back to you.
It maybe helped that he's played it. Like, maybe he knew to expect that big fish thing, maybe. But it's been so long. Like, I think Dustin's just kind of gifted in this game for some reason.
Which is crazy, because I guarantee you, you put any other shoot-em-up like this in front of us, and you'll do better, I would imagine, unless like we have just discovered a genre that is not your like your cup of tea.
I mean, it's not my favorite, but I can generally hold my own. Like with Star Soldier Vanishing Earth, it's a little different kind of shmup, but I'm good at that game, and I don't know. They're not my favorite games, especially the left to right format. It's just different for me.
It's crazy. All right, so listen, we got to talk about these upgrades. So those missiles, just kind of what Nolan mentioned, it goes from a little pea shooter to an interesting thing here is that you've got kind of two different routes for your missiles to go. They can go kind of your starting weapon progression, which goes from a pea shooter to this huge kind of white ball, like massive ball of energy. Or you can get a weapon switch a couple times in the game, and it takes it between that primary weapon and then that alternate weapon. But after you get on one track, you kind of want to just stay there. And the alternate weapon takes you from that same pea shooter to this like broad white energy wave that cuts through enemies.
Yeah. And you also start with that grenade that lobs down.
How annoying is that at first?
It's so weak.
It's so weak and it's so bad.
Like bomb weapon kind of thing. Well,
sure, but it gets so much better.
I know it gets better.
The first time you play this, you don't realize it. Okay, can I be really honest? The first time I played this game at all, like I picked it up, and I know there's four buttons, but they're not real intuitive as to which is like your main shoot button. And so I hit like A, which does nothing. And maybe I tried X, and so then I realized, oh, B must be my weapon. And so then I get this little thing that just shoots out this tiny little weak bomb that, like...
Nolan, did all he play with was bomb?
Did you figure out the other
at least two playthroughs of this game, which lasted all of 23 seconds, because this game's impossible and murders you.
All I did was lob bombs,
and trying to avoid people and put yourself in a position where you could hit them with this little lobbing weak weapon was the worst experience of my life.
Kenny, I'm so happy that you feel like you can share this with us.
You're worse than me at this game, which makes me feel a little better.
I mean, I got better at it, but that didn't mean much.
Okay, so now that I've kind of said that I'm really bad at it, I think that it's kind of got a good pacing to it. So with these shmup games, we kind of have to discuss like the pacing. Some of them are way too fast. Some of them are way too slow. I thought the way the enemies come on the screen was kind of in a sweet spot. They don't like... they don't like just dart at you and try to like murder you. Some of them try that, but for the most part, a new enemy enters the screen and you're like, okay, what do you do? And it kind of lets you learn the mechanics. And of course, games like this, it's like, it's trial and error. So you're going to die and then you learn and then you go back and you're able to do it. But I thought the pacing here on the shmup was not bad, other than the upgrades being a little slow for me.
I'd agree. I think it needed to curve in a little bit softer at the very, very beginning, even after I knew the first level enemies and their locations and how they spawned. So much of the rest of your play depended on basically getting through that first level, successfully getting all your upgrades. Because if you miss one, like you've missed it, and then you're sort of behind for the whole time, and trying to not die at all so that you then had lives to go into the farther levels. And It got to where I would start the game, something cheap would happen, and I would die, and I would get frustrated and either reset the console or just, like, kill myself a bunch of more times so that I could start over again and try and get a clean run. Because it was so important early that you live and that you get those first upgrades that if I missed any of them, I just gave up.
Well, what's nice is that you can increase your life count from the main menu. So I bumped that up once I realized how often I was dying, so that kind of helped.
Well, I think you just start with like three ships and you can upgrade that to like five or eight.
No, you can you can go up to eight.
Yeah. And I agree with you on the pacing. If it was a thing, because in a lot of these side-scrolling shooters, It's more like rapid like reflexes is what's needed. And I didn't feel that as much here because if it was, I wouldn't be able to do that. Like I don't have rapid reflex, like what you need in some of those games, like Celeste, is that the name of the game that you've been talking about some? And some of those other ones that you would be good, that you're good at, Nolan.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily required here. Sure, you have to dodge and avoid ships, but the way that they come at you primarily from the right side of the screen, there's a lot of...
you say primarily. There's some really cheap stuff where they shoot up from the bottom or they come in from the back side of the screen.
They always tease first, though. They always tease. So, like, if something's going to come from the back side of the screen, it will often poke out first, go away, and then come back so that you've got a little bit of time. But also, once you get destroyed by one of those things, just stay forward a little bit so that you don't get hit.
No, and that's true, but that's my point, is this is one of those games that I felt like you had to play through and fail to learn to then go through again. And as a game design model, I don't feel like I want to be doing that. I want to be equipped to feel like I can handle everything based on what I'm seeing and learning in the game if I'm staying sharp and quick enough. And I didn't feel like that was the case here. Like, there'd be a boss where it would... into the game, it would be shooting these missiles at you and you could blow them up. And then suddenly it shoots another missile at you that looks almost the same as the other missiles, but it's invulnerable to being blown up. And so you're shooting it and it does nothing and then it kills you. And you just can't know that unless you've played and died and failed and done it again.
Progression's kind of cool, the way it works in this game. So like when you beat the first stage, it takes you to this like overworld looking, not overworld, but just a grid, a map of space, and you can choose what level path you want to take. So you can take we could have taken multiple paths this week. So you start on level A, you beat it, and then you can go up to B or down to C. And then from there, you can branch off to other letters until you beat the game. So
yeah, it's kind of Star Fox-esque.
Yeah.
For a title that more people sort of know that layout.
Which Star Fox came out, 2 years later. So
If anything, it's the opposite.
It's just super interesting that you play seven levels, but you could easily, like us three, if we were going through the entire game, which it didn't happen, could play seven levels each, but they could be different levels from one another. Not all of them. There's some linking ones. I think there's three or four maybe that are the exact same, but then you've got a couple in there where you've got options. And on those different levels, they look different, the bosses are different, and then the upgrades that you receive on that stage are different.
And I think in terms of like planning a route, if you will, which bosses you can deal with the best and which upgrades you're going to get, and your preferences there are probably the most notable things to have to be picking and then playing around.
And bosses, so like we brought up bosses. I think that's one of the highlights of this game. So they decided maybe it's with the whole Darius series, but at least it is with Darius Twin, where the bosses all have this aquatic theme.
<They're> fish.
And so you might not be expecting it. Although I guess some of the mini bosses and some of the other things are like
they keep it themed throughout.
Yeah,
that stupid little angelfish
that bothered Nolan too so
oh
bad.
Oh my goodness, that thing was so cheap.
It's annoying.
I don't know why.
Because you have to like...
It's like, just don't get in front of its beam.
But then you can shoot it and it's
the
on the screen
beam's a third
forever.
Of the screen. And then you dodge it and then it just runs dashes forward while you have your shields on and dashes into you and insta-death.
Well, if you're really, really bad at it, then it eventually just leaves. Like, I think in Nolan's first play, it eventually is just like, oh, you're not worth it, and just takes off.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it leaves.
with these bosses, a thing that I've always loved and has been iconic for me with this game is that after you get through the primary stage, so like the horde of enemies that are coming at you, you've got this pause, a moment of tranquility. There's no enemies coming after you, no bullets being fired at you. You can finally let go of your missile and bomb buttons, or for Kenny, just your bomb button. And you wait for a while before this warning screen comes up and this kind of siren-like deep sound comes on. And then you've got this kind of small report where you see the awesome names of your enemies, like Emperor Fossil or Full Metal Shell. And it tells you a little bit about them.
Yeah. And they're before fish, the so enemy it's kind comes of funny. Out. Like, I don't know why they went for that theme, but it's kind of hilarious. They're just giant, scaly fish ships.
And they're not all like that, but no. that is the first, I think, two are like long fish-like things. But later on, there's huge kind of like horse...
A seahorse.
Oh. I almost said horse to sea.
A random horse in space.
Just a horse.
Just a space horse.
Gallops on the screen. A seahorse type ship, or a crab type ship. There's different kinds of ships that come out, but they're all like fish-like. So I know you guys probably only saw a handful of bosses, but did you at least like the boss designs?
No, I didn't.
Why?
Because it doesn't fit. It's weird. Wait, like Gundams fit. Like that makes sense. But fish.
That's what everyone else does.
Yeah, and it's being because different. It's good.
I liked them from like a visual design thematic point. I thought it was fun, and they looked good and clean, and I was all about that. They just, like all the rest of the game, really frustrated me.
I thought the bosses were easier than some of the enemies.
Some of them were, yeah.
But like, I think that I just prefer a different style when it comes to that. Like, and the hitboxes were a little off on the bosses for some reason. Like, it hit confirms, so you see a flash of white when you hit something in this game. And you would be hitting a boss, and then all of a sudden, like, if it starts coming towards you, your hits wouldn't start connecting. Or if they were, it doesn't show that. And so I think the mechanics in the boss fights are weird.
Well, a lot of them have like this window of opportunity. And so if, for example, if their mouth is open, then you fire into their mouth and it does damage. But when it's closed, it doesn't do damage.
Yeah, that's not... I'm talking about just like when I'm supposed to be able to damage it, it wasn't working.
One of the things that is super helpful for me in this game is that when you lose a ship, you don't necessarily lose your power-ups. You get to keep those. It doesn't downgrade you, which is always hurtful for me in some of these games.
I would say that this game would almost be impossible if it didn't function that way.
It'd be so punishing if you started back with one pea shooter.
It'd be really, really punishing.
You do lose your shield, which we didn't even get around to talking about earlier when we were going through the different upgrades. So you've got your missile, your bomb, and then you've got your shield, which you do lose when you lose a ship. But it goes from having no shield to having this like huge golden shield. And each of these, the missile, bomb, and shield, all have 8 upgrades each. So there's a lot of upgrades that they go through, and you keep them throughout your entire play, and you end up looking amazing. In my opinion, you may have never gotten there, but I think I posted a picture in the Discord this week in the Game of the Week section, because you end up having this strong, massive gold shield around you. You've got these 4 violet fireballs that are shooting out diagonally from your ship in each direction. And then you've got this huge white, like crescent moon wave that's coming out from the front of your ship. It looks pretty amazing.
And that kind of goes back to what I was saying. When I said the pacing was solid, I meant the way the enemies are presented. But when it comes to like progression, I feel like the early game is way, way hard, and later it's so easy because you have so many upgrades. I think that's not good.
Even across the first couple of levels, I found the further I could get and the more upgrades I could get, the easier I was breathing and the easier I was dealing with everything. Again, part of that was learning curve, but part of that is just,
you have crap on the screen
into, into having sort of inner, you know, momentum with your upgrades. And I agree, Nola. They could have smoothed that out a lot more naturally.
I don't know. I mean, what y'all are describing is how games work. Y'all are saying like, once you get upgraded, it's easier.
Well, no, but games are supposed to get harder as you progress and you deal with it in a different way. And this, it felt like you got super powerful, but the enemies stayed the same. And the not more enemies came on the screen. Like, it was just imbalanced in the difficulty. And the beginning was unreasonably hard because of how weak you are.
Because they only give you bombs to lob.
If you're Kenny, you just use grenades.
Aged.
So when it comes to age, one of the things that these type of games always struggle with is frame rate. Like, can we just start there? I think we can maybe agree here, depending on your system. But when there's a lot of things on the screen, a lot of times you get lag, you get slowed down, and it's just really jaggedy. But I felt like this had remarkably good frame rate for everything that was going on.
I didn't have a lot of issues with frame rate.
Now, there were one or two places where I felt like it stuttered a little bit because of things, but that was very rare. For the most part, it stayed pretty smooth.
We played games that frame rate is just a part, like, is just a part of it, and you have to just kind of factor that into the moves that you're doing.
Yeah,
and this is not one of them.
No, it's not. The frame rate was fine. I just had more issues with like some of the invincibility frames on some enemies, mostly bosses, but that's a different kind of issue than frame rate. So, you know, it ran smooth, and you're right. Yeah. For something with this much stuff going on the screen, I've played SNES games like platformers that have panicked when there's too many pixels on the screen, but this was fine. Yeah.
There were a couple of places, Nolan, where it just didn't feel quite as clean as probably a modern game would. You mentioned hitboxes and some of those things, and I'll just echo that. There were times that I was like, there's no way that killed me. Like, that didn't kill me. And that's frustrating when there's lots of times that you know you clearly should have died and did, that the times that you feel like it was unjust because of just the game were especially frustrating.
As far as playability, like, I think that it aged well. I think the genre ages well in that it's very easy to understand the game. You pick it up, you play it, and you immediately know what is expected of you and what you need to do. Dodge and shoot constantly. And it just comes naturally. And so I always kind of find it fascinating when we play shmups now, how it's just like, it's like one genre that I feel like not anyone could be good at, but anyone could understand and get the gist of it. So like there was no hurdles in that regard. It was just, you know, pick up and play. I think it'd make a good mobile game, probably, like if there was a remake of it.
I'd agree. It'd be good on mobile.
It's a good point to say that, like, some genres just lend themselves to, you know, if hurdles. You're a gamer, you can pick it up and you can play it because it works the same. And that's something that could be seen as a negative, but I see it as like a really nice thing that there is a type of game for gamers that, and it's not just this one, I think platformers kind of do this too in some sense, that but there's some uniqueness there. And not saying all shoot 'em ups are the exact same, but you know what to do. You avoid the enemy, you avoid the bullets, you get the upgrades, and you destroy the enemies, you know. It is a routine, it is a whatever, a progression that is common. And so it kind of just it works in with this game too. There's nothing that it does, and that's one of the negative things that I would say about it though, is that it doesn't do much different. Like, in my opinion, right, what I'm going to be arguing is that it does what it does well, but it doesn't, it's not like, man, we're just taking huge strides in the genre of space shooting.
Yeah, they didn't introduce anything like, oh, that's cool. It
other
than
a
the fish chips, but yeah, it was kind of predictable. I don't think it needs to push any boundaries necessarily. Like, that's probably why I don't care for this genre in general, is because it's always the same thing. But those that enjoy this, like, would love this. I mean, it's chaos, it's upgrades, and it's boss fights. I mean, and it's not a long game, really. It's not a long game. I didn't beat it because it's freaking hard. But I think fans of the genre would know what to expect and have a great time. But for me, I think it's too hard. I think that's where it ages. Like, and I've already mentioned why. It's because I think progression is backwards in this game. And like, outside of upgrades, I think like you start so slow and weak, and that first stage is very hard, and then later it's a cakewalk and it's not fun anymore. And I didn't even get all the way through the game, but like I got to the point where I had the balls shooting in all directions and a bigger beam and a shield. And I was like, well, this is so much easier. And it's not like you have to work hard to get there either. It's just shoot those squares that come on screen. It's always the same. Yeah, it's six squares and you're just like, oh, cool, upgrade.
I didn't love that choice of how to do the upgrades. It felt like either kind of more random upgrades where you had to be on the lookout for it and snag it, or upgrades based on like defeating a mini boss or getting some milestone or something. Or even if those upgrades came in more challenging patterns based on how good the upgrade was, or change the color of the upgrade before you blew it up so that you knew if it was something you wanted. It was just very repetitious and predictable as the upgrades were coming. And so I just felt that piece, at least of it, was a little bit uninspired. I'm also pretty anti, and this is more of like a gameplay mechanic issue than with how it aged, but maybe it has to do with how I'm aging. And so we'll say it fits here really well. I'm not a fan of the rapid fire option in games like this, where you can just hit the shoot button and hold it.
You want to be tapping it that much? Yeah, that's weird.
No, I want a design that makes me... No, I'd much rather do that. My thumb was like killing me just from sitting there pushing the buttons and holding
them. Think about how much more it would be hurting. No,
not if you're like designing around it. You can easily have one button tap like... shoot one thing and then shoot three things in a row, or the speed of your things. There's ways you can adjust to where you're needing to interact with it, or where there's things you don't shoot or shoot. I literally smashed my thumb on the right side of my gamepad and then played left-handed, because you don't do anything except just hold to be shooting all the time. And that's boring to me, and it's painful, and it's uninspired, and I just don't like that. And don't get me wrong, I believe you can turn that off in your settings. But I don't like that it's a default. And if it's there, you have to use it. It's kind of a crutch not to. I don't know. I just, that was a piece that also didn't sit well with me.
I don't know about that. I can't think of a game that does the opposite, where you're not holding.
Like, I guess in all fairness, I'm allowed to just mash the buttons.
Well, that, and you, like you just mentioned, in the options, there's not tons of options. There's like three different options. One is change your lives. And then the other is... turn rapid fire off. And so
maybe it's even a, like the bombs or the sort of shootout things. We keep calling them different things, but the bombs, not your missiles, but your secondary weapon. Yeah, maybe it's even that shouldn't have shot at the same time as your first, or maybe I just needed some kind of special where occasionally I had to hit another button or anything, but just start the level, push down two buttons at the same time with my right hand, never move that again, doesn't feel like an engaging game experience. You should have to be reacting with both of your thumbs to what's going on.
I don't know.
One of the things that we're not going to agree on, so we can just talk about it quickly, real quick, is music and graphics, of which I think they do both exceptionally well for this game.
I'll actually agree with you, Dustin. This is where we may disagree with Nolan. I thought for the genre, the look and the music was great. The music's kind of cheesy. It's heavy-handed, but it fits what it's trying to do.
And there's a different track for each stage.
Right. And you've even got some options in terms of like sound effects, or, you know, you can change some of your sound options in your settings, which is always nice. And I don't know, like, it felt like an old video game to me, but in a good way on those fronts.
I think my problem, the graphics are fine. I don't think they're great. I wouldn't call them great, but I think they're fine. I think the reason that they're not great is because they did put quite a bit of detail in the enemies, but the backdrops suffer. So a lot of the stages is just black and stars, which, sure, you're in space, but put some planets, put some galaxies, some colors in there. I don't know. It was like an easy way out of making a good backdrop, and I'm kind of a sucker for that. Music, whatever. It's not good. I mean, I wouldn't say it's good. And a different track for each stage is expected at this point. This is SNES era. If it was a NES game, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's cool. They took the time to not make a repeating song the whole game, but...
I disagree on the music part, but on the graphics, I can find some kind of common ground, because I do agree that some of the backgrounds on these stages are uninspired. You, like the star one you mentioned, the starting stage is okay, but it's kind of just like water, a little bit of earth and clouds.
Yeah, it's generic,
some of the later stages, you're like inside other ships or a planet, mm-hmm. or I agree. One of the weaknesses of the graphics is that some of the backgrounds of the stages are uninspired, but some of them are. And then with the look of the ship and the multiple enemies and the boss designs, that's where I would just kind of put the needle on the other side and say the graphics went out for me. For one final thing, I think that this is always worth mentioning and that it adds to some playability is that there are 5 or 6 different endings. And I know that for you guys, you're like, that doesn't matter. No one's ever going to get there.
There's not even one ending.
No, for me, it's like it's interesting that there's so many different endings, and the ending is based on the route you take, how many times you died, and how many mini bosses you destroy. So if you let that little fish away from the beginning that destroyed y'all over
all
and over
again,
all of
the fishes that come towards me, I let go.
That comes into play at the end too. So
that's actually great.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a reason that you would play this game again, and that, in my opinion, helps it age a little bit better.
I agree. Although for the genre, any arcade-y style games for me, you're replaying for the fun of playing and not so much, you know, for story or ending or those kind of things. And yeah, I like this genre. When I wasn't hating this game, I was having a great time. And so
I feel like that's always where you land. I hate this game, but I loved it for a couple seconds.
It was a game, and it did try and entertain me.
Yeah.
Like, that's my whole summary of every game ever.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every episode, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or another, and I think we've got to go this routes. Hey, if we've got an overworld map and we get to pick what routes we go, I think we go Dustin, Nolan, Kenny. Thoughts?
All right.
I think the first two are very clear, and Kenny is going to talk for about 5 minutes and then do his final map.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go that route.
So, and we'll see what ending we end up with. Look at this. Okay. Full circle. This is such a good game, and I've already acknowledged, but it's been so weird to me this week that, one, people don't know about it, two, it's not universally enjoyed. Even some of the things that y'all have been saying has been so foreign to me, and it's got to be, I've tried my best not to be rude about it, because I understand, like, it makes sense, I guess, if it's just because I played it as a kid, but, like, it was just on holidays. It's not like I was... But I don't know, something clicks, either that it was a childhood game or this is a genre for me that I never knew about that I'm good at. But I'm good at this game, and it doesn't require tons of movement. The small dodges here and there. The upgrade system is great. I end up feeling so powerful with the ship that I end up having with the upgrades. The music is just right for me. The graphics are just right for me. The difficulty is just right for me, where it does get difficult, you know, 3 or 4 stages in, but at least it gets, I don't know. The challenge is there. The look and feel is there. I'm actually good at it. I'll say that one last time and then say, I definitely give this my vote for New Game Plus status. I think it's one of the best side scrolling shoot 'em ups that I've ever played. So, yes, New Game Plus status from me.
And
probably from Nolan, too.
Yeah. I don't think it's because you played it as a kid and now you're automatically amazing at it. I don't think that makes sense. I think I'm giving you this one. You're, for some reason, amazing at this game, and I'm so weird. Absolutely not.
It makes perfect sense.
No, maybe he knew it to expect a little bit on the first stage, but you don't remember, like, it's the bicycle, I gotta go up right here.
Nah, human brains are amazing.
I don't know. Dustin...
He had the played it before hack.
Dustin's amazing, and I'm trash at this game. And I don't like it. I don't think it's fun. I'm not bashing it just because I'm bad at it. I'm really not. Like, I gave it props at one or two places where I thought it deserved it. But I don't think that people need to play it. I really don't. Like, there aren't many shmups that I would recommend anyways, so maybe it's just me not being a fan of the genre, but I know that there are some games in this category that are worth playing. I don't think this is one. I think we didn't hear about it probably because it's a better arcade game. I did some research and looked at some of the other titles in the series, and the arcade games look much better, like just overall. So maybe it was just a console thing that didn't translate well, but no new game plus from me.
Okay, hold on, Kenny, before you go. All right. Because this game, did we give Star Soldier
no
new game plus?
No, I
we did not.
I did, but y'all didn't.
Okay. Well, then I'll feel a little bit better if this game ends up not. But I feel like it would be like, this is one of the games that I feel like it's going to be a travesty if we don't.
Because I was pretty upset about Star Soldier.
And then Kenny was very upset about that that shmup Civilization 2.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I'm so glad you brought Civilization 2 up, because I was about to. Hey, you remember Civilization 2 and how I felt?
I give Civilization 2 my vote for new game plus.
No new game plus. This game, I like this genre. I love getting awesome and having good upgrades and running around in space shooting stuff. That's great. The fact that you can set your lives to more than double your starting lives, jump from normal mode to easy mode, and still feel like the game is punishingly difficult is simply unacceptable.
Yeah.
Sure, you grind this game out long enough, you learn the patterns, you're going to be fine at it. Sure, if you can get ahead the first couple of levels and get to where your ship is kind of beefy, you're going to be having a good time. But they just shot themselves in the foot with the ramp up on that stuff. So, you know, in a world where I was better at video games, or where they smoothed those things out, maybe it's passable. And again, I do like the genre a lot and think with you, Dustin, that they did some things really well. But I was just frustrated the entire time playing this game, because it kicked my face in and it needed some tuning. It really did. So no new game plus.
Dang, Dustin, Civ 2.
Y'all are so wrong. And here's what I'm hearing. It doesn't get new game plus because I'm bad at this game.
No, that's not what I said.
Regardless of what y'all are saying, that's what y'all are saying. Y'all are like, I'm bad at this game and couldn't get past it.
There is a difficulty I'm bad at this game and this game is too difficult.
I was going to let it pass, but then I pulled up our Retro Master list and Star Soldier Vanishing Earth is New Game Plus certified. So
it
screw
is?
You and your dumb game.
I stand by my choice, because it's not that I'm bad at the game. It's really not.
And I like shoot 'em ups. Like, it's, for me, it's design and fun, and it needs to be a fun game experience, and the way they develop it needs to make sense.
I was gonna leave my playthrough as a live stream only event, but it's going on our YouTube because people need to see how
I'm deleting
this game
it from Twitch.
It's not, they can play it themselves and then be impressed with how good you are, and that's fine, but not easy.
Darius Twin, whatever, doesn't get it. And
new meme, new NGP meme.
What did you think? We need to move on, or I will get really frustrated, probably. Jessica wrote in this week, and she sent in her thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com. And she said, finally had a chance to play along this week for the first time in a while. SNES was my first current console, so I was surprised to not know anything about Darius Twin. I always enjoy shmups when I play them, but I'm certainly no expert in the genre. I didn't get far this week, but I enjoyed what I played well enough. I recommend against the easy mode. It doesn't seem to have the power-ups, which take away from the fun. I did manage to get my husband to play the two-player mode with me, but he found it very frustrating, deeming it not good for his blood pressure. Overall, I don't know that it will be that memorable for me. I wouldn't give it new games to anyone but a SNES completionist or a shmup enthusiast, which I'm neither. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about this one.
I can't wait either. Dustin's probably going to delete this one and not even send it to Tom for editing.
I just cut me out. Let it be Nolan and Kenny the whole time.
He's going to edit it with some sound bites from past episodes where I'm like, I loved this game.
Just chops it up.
Darius Twain gets my new game plus.
Here's the thing, though. I would be... Okay, I'm frustrated and completely disagree with you guys, but I understand on this one, and it's so weird that I'm in the minority, because y'all are not the only ones that are saying this. When I've been looking this week, not one person that I've found gives it a glowing review.
Like and, even review sites and stuff?
But my mind can't wrap around that because I don't see the faults. Like I'm...
I'll tell you what. Kenny was arguing that it's because you've played it that you're good. I think it's that you've played it that you love it. You have some a little nostalgia for it, and it just aged well for you in that regard.
So weird for me. But we're going to put this game to the side. Thank you, Jess, for your email. And Darius Twin does not get New Game Plus status.
RIP.
But it is that time of the week for us to randomly select a new game. What will be the new game? The game that we are going to be playing for the next 7 days. We're selecting from our Retro Master list. We randomly select out of that massive list. Thanks for sending in your submissions of retro games. It just needs to be 15 years old or older, any genre, any console. From that list, we are randomizing now. We are going to be playing a 1988
old school
arcade and then NES video game.
I hope it's not a shmup. I'll kill myself.
Okay. So it came out in arcade 88, 89. It came out for the home Nintendo Entertainment System.
I like NES games sometimes.
It is a side-scrolling, not shoot-em-up. Nope.
But
beat-em-up.
Oh.
It's a shbup.
A shbup. That's not what it is.
It's a shbup. Single player or co-op mode. This is very similar to what we've just recently
played. Produced by Taito.
It was developed and published by SNK, and the game is POW Prisoners of War.
Interesting.
Very
SNK
fun.
Is a pretty big company. They made SNK Fighters.
And we went from game you played during your childhood, Dustin, to game I played during mine.
Oh,
are you serious?
Now's your chance to bash,
Dustin. This is one of my fairly limited collection of NES carts. I mean, it wasn't like tiny, but I didn't have a ton of games and owned this one. And so it'll be fun to go back and see if it, you know, how it is.
Dustin, yeah, this game does not get my vote for New Game Plus status.
Here's your chance for revenge.
No matter what.
Very simple.
Oh, man. Okay, POW, Prisoner of War, that's the name?
That's it.
It's a bad name. Join us in our Discord this week so we can talk about all things POW and all things SALT. You can get an invite link to our Discord on Twitter. So go to NGP Podcast on Twitter and click on the top link.
Special thanks to Bradley, Zion, and Gimbarino, our producer-level supporters on Patreon.com. And to all our other patrons who support us on an ongoing basis and help us continue to make good quality content.
You can find us on our social media sites. That's Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at NGP Podcast. Listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure to subscribe. Feel free to leave a kind rating and review. And as always, we want to thank Tom Tate for editing and producing each and every one of our episodes.
And also, real quick, Dustin, I'm using this opportunity to ask if you're listening to this, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Because we're almost at 100 and we get a custom link and it's ridiculous that we haven't done that yet.
We've only been around for 2.5 years, but we're almost at 100 subscribers on YouTube.
To be fair, a podcast is allowed to have a slightly hard time having people interested in their video content.
But
there's some good stuff there.
Yes.
If you haven't checked it out from first plays to... Let's plays to streaming of some of the games like Dustin did this week to some side games that you guys have played and recorded. There's some good stuff there. And so do go check it out.
And join us next week as we play a far superior game to Darius Twin, POW Prisoners of War. Until then, I'm still salty.
I'm still upset at this game.
And I'm Pepper.
And this has been New Game Plus.
definitely gets New Game Plus from me. So I know I said that I loved Darius Twin. You either see the charm in these games or you don't, and this one's got it. I'm so confused as to why it wasn't popular. And if it was, then where was I? New Game Plus.
And as the creativity and the uniqueness of this game developed and then continued to develop and then never stopped and continued to develop, and I just got to see new things and more bosses and mini bosses, I was blown away by the care that they put into this game. I'm going to give Darius Twin New Game Plus.